sign. A sign that you've all seen. A sign that you've probably have read multiple times. Some of you, many, many times. Others of you, maybe once, many times. A sign that reminds us in the most poignant of ways why we are here now and why you dedicate your days and nights to learning Torah. Which sign am I referring to? I'm referring to the sign posted outside of the Beis Medrash. The sign with Rosh Soloveitchik that says, "When I enter the yeshiva, I am at home because I am grounded in the world of eternity." So you've seen it, you've read it. I want to be ma'ayin into those few words here tonight. It took a little bit of research, but according to my research, that quote, the dot, dot, dots in between all those words there, is taken from a lecture in 1956. Here's the longer paragraph. "After the plane lands at LaGuardia Airport, I go directly to the yeshiva. I immediately enter the world of Abaye and Rava. If you should ask how I feel with the sudden change in my environs when I enter the yeshiva, I will respond that just transition. When I enter the world in which the same topics are discussed that were analyzed in the academics of Surim Pampadisa, I know that I am on firm and stable ground. In such endeavors, there is perpetual truth. In the yeshiva, I am at home because I am grounded in the world of eternity." What does it mean to be grounded in the world of eternity? Listen carefully to some words from the Rav in Lonely Man of Faith. "The Masorah community cuts across the centuries, indeed millennia, of Kanderic time and unites those who already played their part, delivered their message, acquired their fame, and withdrew from the covenantal stage quietly and humbly with those who have not yet been had the opportunity to appear on the covenantal stage and who wait for their turn in the anonymity of the about to be. Thus, the individual member of the covenantal faith community feels rooted in the past and is related to the future. The before and the after are interwoven in his time and experience. He is not a hitchhiker suddenly invited to get into a swiftly traveling vehicle, which emerged from nowhere and from which he will be dropped into the abyss of timelessness, while the vehicle will rush on into parts unknown, continually taking on the new passengers and dropping off old ones. Covenantal man begins to find redemption from the insecurity and to feel at home in the continuum of time and the responsibility which is experienced by him. It's an endless totality, me'olam v'ad ha'olam." The Rav is describing what it means to live a world of eternity, to have the before and the after, and to not go through life, as he says, calls a hitchhiker, who's just going from dot to dot, from place to place, without having a direction of a Masorah, of the covenantal community. Another way, just a few marmakolas, not from the Rav, another way to think about that come to my mind when you think about grounding yourself in the world of eternity is to think about the difference between a chaye shah and a chaye olam. Again, the Rav said, me'olam mi'ad olam. So the Gemara talks about the distinction between chaye olam and chaye shah in a few places. One of the most famous places is the Gemara Shabbos. Rav Achazi el Rav Amnuna de Kamarech Betzluse. It's a very wonderful thing that he was doing. Rav Amnuna was having a longish Shemona Esrei. And apparently Rava finished before him. Or maybe he was doing other things. Amar, Rava says to Rav Amnuna, "Manichen chaye olam ve'oskim mechaye shah." The Gemara Brachos says, "Ve'in li ala berkas amazam, berkas ha-Torah minayin, amar Rav Shmuel kavachomar, chaye shah mevarech, achaye olam haba lo kol shekein." So when it comes to Talmud Torah, the Gemara is calling that Chaye Olam. Other mitzvos, tefillah, other thing that's called Chaye Shah. In Birchas HaTorah, that's why we emphasize V'chaye Olam Nata B'Socheinu. So what's the difference between a person who lives a life of Chaye Shah versus someone who lives a life of Chaye Olam? Our goal is to live a life of Chaye Olam. So here we need to look to the Rav again, but here in Isha Halacha. At the second half of Isha Halacha, there's a smaller section of Isha Halacha, where he talks about man's ability to be creative. And man defines himself as a creator and as a person. He talks specifically about tshuva, where there's self-creation. Your bechira chafshis allows you to make those decisions. And there the Rav says, the one who takes the chaye olam shah and the chaye olam shah versus the existence of chaye, sorry, the chaye olam versus the chaye shah, he says the following. A person who's looking at life only at the chaye shah, his life is out of his control. He can neither create himself nor his future. Not using the words of the Rav right now. To him, the Chaye Shah person, life is temporary. It's passing. It's fleeting. It's here today, gone tomorrow. It's a string of unconnected dots where one thing doesn't lead to the next. It's a tragic perspective on life. But unfortunately, it's also one that many young adults may be familiar with. If you look at other college campuses, it's a hedonistic approach to life. Look at the pleasure of the moment. What can I get out of this? What's in it for me? Without looking at a broader picture of one's environment or one's life or one's goals. In contrast, the Chaye Olam approach to life, the Ish HaLacha, now getting back to quoting the Rav, embraces the entire company of the sages of the Mesorah. He lives in their myths, discusses and argues questions of halacha with them, delves into and analyzes fundamental halachic principles in their company. All of them merge into one time experience. He walks alongside the Rambam, he listens to Rabbi Akiva, he senses the presence of Abaye and Rava, he rejoices with them and shares in their sorrow. A person who lives a chai olam lives with this idea that the Rav coins as time awareness. The idea that one blends the past with the present and the future. The Rav describes elsewhere, with one hand the Jew receives the message of the past, and the other he passes it on to the future. Through the merging of the experiential memory and experiential anticipation, the Jew transcends temporal bounds and penetrates into eternity. Again, this idea of Chaye Olam. He lives with the realization that there is more to life than his personal needs and the present moment. A person who lives a Chaye Olam, he has a sacred mission, because each of us is part of that link in the Mesorah that goes to the past, that looks what came before him, realizes that he is part of the present, and how am I going to protect that past and move it forward into the future with my own way, with my creativity, but holding on to the past at the same time. I'd like to close with perhaps one of the most well-known quotes and ideas from the Rav about how he felt when he gave shir, which I assume as well, maybe not, maybe even more well than the sign that's outside, you may have heard before. But I think it's kedai to hear again, to think about the words and the context of what we're discussing tonight. I start the shir. I don't know what the conclusion will be. Whenever I start the shir, the door opens and another old man walks in and sits down. He is older than I am. All the Talmidim call me the Rav. He is older than the Rav. He is the grandfather of the Rav. His name is Reb Chaim Brisker, without whom no shir can be delivered nowadays. Then the door opens quietly again and another old man comes in. He is older than Reb Chaim. He lived in the 17th century. What's his name? Shabtai Cohen, the famous Shach, who must be present when the Dinim Mamonis are being discussed, when we study Bava Basra, Bava Metzia, Bava Kama. And then more visitors show up. Some lived in the 11th century, some in the 12th century, some in the 13th century. Some lived in antiquity. Rabbi Akiva, Rashi, Rabbi Natam, the Ravid, the Rashba. More and more come in. They come in, come in. Of course. What do? I introduce them to my pupils, and the dialogue commences. The Rambam says something. The Ravid disagrees. And sometimes he's very nasty. Very sharp, harsh language he uses against the Rambam. A boy jumps up and defends the Rambam against the Ravid. And the boy is fresh. You know how young boys are fresh these days. So the language he uses is improper. So I correct him. And another jumps up, the new idea. The Rashba smiles gently. I try to analyze what the young boy meant. Another boy intervenes. We call upon the Rabbi Natam to express his opinion. And suddenly, a symposium of generations comes into existence. Rabosai, the next time you glance up at the poster outside, the next time, more importantly, you walk into this Beis Medrash, as you're holding the doors open to the Beis Medrash, and yes, on the second floor, it creaks a little bit when you open up that door to kind of enter the Beis Medrash. Think for a few seconds. Think about the zechus we have to learn Hashem's Torah here each day, to delve into the Chayei Olam, and hopefully thereby live lives that are Chayei Olam, that are built upon millennia of our Mesorah, to enter, using the words of the Rav again, the covenantal stage that both links us back and catapults us into the future. Rabbi say we don't want to be hitchhikers through history with our lives, with our time that is given to us here on earth. By bookending our days here in the Beis Medrash in the morning and coming back at night, we are firmly grounding ourselves in Chayei Olam with a foundation for the rest of our lives. Cherish these moments as you pull open the doors and perhaps think about how you can share that feeling with others who may not have that inner feeling of the Chayei Olam when they enter into this room. Maybe they're in this room and they don't have that feeling. Maybe they're not yet in this room and they need to be pulled into this room so they can experience the Chayei Olam. To make this Beis Medrash into our home, because this is what grounds us into the world of eternity.